Evening and welcome to another edition of the Jersnet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast by fans for fans, where all the content is absolutely free. Tonight, as always, we are coming to you in association with Forest Precision Engineering. I'll be your host this evening, Rob Fawcett, and we'll be looking back at today's disappointing draw against Falkirk, maybe talking about some breaking news that has just been released into the stratosphere. But before we get into that, I'd encourage you all to visit the Jersnet website. Not only do we have our main website with a host of quality articles and an online museum, but it also hosts our popular forums, which are a great place to keep up to date with the latest Rangers news and discussion. Now tonight, as always, we're live on YouTube, and we'd ask that you continue to spread the word amongst your friends and family, share the pod on social media, subscribe to the channel, as well as stop by the forums and join in the chat there too. Now I need to give another mention to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They are a Glasgow-based engineering company who have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers and Jersnet for a number of years, and we are delighted to have them supporting the pod. If you want more information about them, please visit their website at www.forestprecisioneng.com. They also have a stunning executive lounge in the Ibrox main stand, and for more information on that, you can email the club at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Now, joining me this evening are Alan Rogers and Ross Bennett. Alan, good evening. How are you, sir? Apart from the football?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Although I'm absolutely rocked by this massive breaking news that you have just come off another podcast. I mean, what's going on? What a tart. What are you playing at?
Well, it's my mate, Diggy Kinnear's fault. He was the man that got me into this malarkey. And yes, I couldn't see him doing a pod with him.
That scandal is going to dominate tonight's podcast, I'm sure.
Oh. Thanks very much for throwing me under that bus, Alan. Really appreciate it, mate. Ross, moving swiftly on, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. I'm probably in a better mood than one might expect after the result today, given the news that does seem to be, if not officially emerging this evening, then certainly unofficially. I think we're all kind of waiting with bated breath to see what's going to happen in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, interesting. I think it's now gone from they're going to consider his position to Sky reporting that he is going to be sacked, which is good. Nobody ever likes to see a manager lose their job, but ultimately it was a manager. I think every Rangers fan collectively were glad to see the back of, and I guess that kind of throws maybe the order where we're going to do things in tonight a little bit up in the air, but I'm sure we can handle that. I guess, Alan, the first thing is looking back at Martin's time, you know, 5 wins in 17. We're sitting 11 points behind Hearts. We've been beaten by teams in Europe that are average at best, and we're sitting 8th in the league after 7 games. I'm really surprised that based on that form, he's been relieved of his duties tonight. Are you?
Well, I mean, I think the most important thing is that this is the sweetest sip of beer I'm going to have over the last few months, all right? Ah, right. The point is, right, there is absolutely no metric by which Russell Martin could possibly have kept his job. For the last, I'd say generously, 6 weeks, he could have had no complaints about being sacked. It was a completely ridiculous appointment. We all knew it. We all kind of had to say, well, okay, we're going to give him time. He's got the job now. We all kind of had to go with it. But we all expected it to go exactly the way it's gone. Mm-hmm. Based on what Swansea fans and MK Dons fans, Southampton fans told us, this is what's going to happen. And it's exactly what did happen. It can come as absolutely no surprise. He can have absolutely no complaints. It did get difficult towards the end because you don't like him, don't like to see any manager kind of personally pilloried like that. But I just think that image of him today, walking across the pitch with his backpack, it's the equivalent to a cardboard box full of his stuff, isn't it? You know, he's just been shown off the premises, don't come back. It is a sad end for him. It's a completely inevitable end. And thank Christ it's happened now, because it's been a really, really difficult period supporting Rangers when everybody knew this was going to be the outcome.
Yeah, and I think on that point, Ross, I mean, it's probably, some could argue, come a few games too late, to be honest. You know, I think there's been plenty of evidence in those 17 games that it just wasn't going to work. You know, I think we've probably had maybe an hour to an hour and a half of decent football under him. You know, regardless of what you might say in press conferences, the players don't look coached. They don't look as if they've got any form of idea as to how they're playing. And if anything, you know, trying to shoehorn these players into his system have made some of these players worse. So I don't think, as a manager, he can really have any complaints with the way that it's ended. But I think, for me, the most important thing now is going to be who's leading that search for the next manager, because ultimately, people decided that he was the right man for the job. And I think some of the seniors that we've got within the club have kind of almost delayed and tried to wash their hands of this without making a decision for far too long. So, you know, how do you see us approaching things over the next couple of weeks? Because I guess we've got an international break, we've got a bit of time before that Dundee United game on the 18th of October, and actually a bit of time to try and rescue the season if we make sure we get the right appointment in place.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one thing I will say is I'm going to disagree with the pair of you, actually, who have been very kind and very generous in saying it's, you know, you don't want to see a manager lose his job. No, I did, actually. I thought the guy showed such a lack of respect for the institution of Rangers. And that's everything from refusing to wear a suit, which is it's a trivial point, but it kind of shows the attitudes towards the institution, right through to saying things like, the fans want to see us win in a certain way. Nonsense. The fans want to see us win. End your sentence there. Right, so he didn't understand the institution. He showed a lack of respect to the institution, and I'll show a lack of respect back. I'm glad to see him go. I am happy that this nightmare is over. As for what comes next, and I think it's a good time to do it. It's probably 6 weeks, 10 weeks overdue, but it's you know, it's happening now. Start of an international break, 2 weeks until we face Dundee United, who aren't a great side this season, I don't think. What I hope, and I'm going to be a little bit ignorant here, but I don't think we have a huge number of players leaving us on international duty. I think the vast majority of the squad is going to be sticking around. I'm sure they've been given some time off or whatever, but I would hope that we get this appointment done really quickly. What gives me a bit of fear is how long it took for us to get Russell Martin. You know, that seemed to go through an extraordinarily robust recruitment process. And I, you know, all of the talk that this guy had, 4, 5, 6 different interviews, talked really, really well in each of them. It can't take that long, right? We cannot go into a situation whereby we appoint an interim team and spend the next 3 months looking for a new manager. This has to be done really, really quickly. I and that gives me a bit of concern, because if it gets done quickly, say, and I think this was a valid criticism of the old regime at Rangers, is that there never really seemed to be any succession planning or any plan B when it comes to managers, and it did always take a little while to get the next one in the door. I have to hope that there's been some kind of plan B from the executives and the board at Rangers at the moment, and that there is someone, whether that's a Dyche or a Gerrard or a Muscat or a McInnes or whatever, ready to come in. Get them in the next couple of days and give them the guts of 2 weeks to work with this squad. As a squad that is totally short of confidence. You said yourself there, Rob, a squad that doesn't look coached. I'd go further and I'd say a squad that looks like they've had all football sense coached out of them. I've said it before on here that Oliver Antman had the best debut I have ever seen from a Rangers player when he started that game against Pilsen at Ibrox. He'd only been in the building for about 12 hours. And he came on and we started the game, played 90 minutes, as far as I can recall, and he looked exceptionally good. That's gone. That was gone by the time we went to the Czech Republic to play them in the return leg. So, Max Aarons isn't a bad footballer, right? He's played Premier League. He's gone and played La Liga in Spain. He looks like he's had all of the footballing sense coached out of him. So get someone in quickly, give them the guts of 2 weeks to work with this squad over the international break, cancel whatever holidays they've got, and let's get them ready. Let's build some confidence back in them, remind them that they know how to play football, because that squad of players should have enough to go and beat Dundee United.
Yeah, and I think that's where we need to be really careful about what type of manager we approach, I guess, and that's it. Just being officially announced, by the way, the Rangers have made the statement on their website. So Russell Martin has been officially sacked as football manager or a head coach. So he's gone. The search now does go on. And I guess, Alan, this is where we need to look at it. We've gone for the system manager in Martin, in somebody who had a clear, defined, alleged style of play. and who wanted to win and win a certain way, even though he didn't win very many games when he said that today, which was interesting. I think for us, it's we need somebody to come in and galvanise the squad and galvanise the club just now. You know, the football doesn't have to be pretty. It just needs to be winning football. And I guess the problem that we've got is there's probably not many targets out there that are going to be available in that short space of time. Now, we've seen West Ham sacking a point of manager fairly quickly. We've seen Nottingham Forest sacking a point of manager fairly quickly. You know, Leverkusen did it with Erik ten Hag as well. Like Ross said, it seemed to drag on quite a bit in the summer with this managerial appointment. We can't waste 5, 6, 7 weeks in this. We need to get somebody through the door in the next couple of days to give them that, to give them that break to look at it. So what type of profile are we looking at? What type of individual needs to come in and help us move forward?
Well, my immediate thought is this is probably not the only beer I'm going to have tonight, even though it's a school night. Okay, so just to get out of the way, do you remember at the end of the third Lord of the Rings film when the ring's been cast into the fires of Mount Doom and it melts, and then you get a picture of Frodo and he's got tears in his eyes and he just says, "It's gone." That's kind of how I feel right now. It properly feels like a weight off my shoulders to know that that's him gone. Now, to answer your question, I mean, a lot of the jungle drums around this say Steven Gerrard, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody can understand why that is. He's available. You think he would take it. He knows it. He's had success before. And really importantly, he's got the broad shoulders to take this on. He can be a figurehead. He can be inspirational. And he gets, crucially, and this is absolutely crucial, he gets immediate buy-in from the support. Now, Gerrard's time at Rangers was mixed, okay? It was mixed in terms of trophy return, but we still progressed season on season. And because he had buy-in, he got automatic time from the support. And that is something that Russell Martin never had. So I think, well, according to rumours, Gerrard is coming back, right? May as well just say it. We've all heard that rumour.
Breaking news on Gesnet.
Yeah, and if that's correct, then I think it's the most sensible step at this stage. I don't want these guys going down and speaking to Danny Rowe and Gary O'Neill and all these project tracksuity, you know, football manager, manual, jargon, LinkedIn bros. I don't want any of that nonsense anymore.
LinkedIn bros, love it.
I just want someone coming in that's going to get the suit on, put a good Windsor up tight on his shirt on match day and just say, right, let's go. And that message was perfect from Gerrard at the time. That is what the support needed to hear at that time. Because the support was absolutely broken at that stage, where I thought, how are we ever going to get back to the top of the mountain? And he brought us that level of belief and inspiration. You know, we went from getting horsed at Parkhead 5-0, and it was 5-0 going on 10-0. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Jack Anik was in goal, and he kept the score down. It literally could have been 10 if they'd wanted it to be 10. Within 6-7 months, we beat them 1-0 at Ibrox. And it was going on 3 or 4, and their goalkeeper was keeping the score down. You know, Gerrard just had that. He just got it from day one. He got the rivalry. He developed a real distaste for our rivals pretty much immediately. And after the first league game, he was looking at the referee and going, "This is a scandal." You know, he got it straight away, and he just had that buy-in. So I think, for me, it's the no-brainer appointment. If he is coming back, I think it's the correct step. It takes away the responsibility from guys like Thelwell and Stewart, who don't seem to know their arse from their elbow. Mm-hmm. And it gives him a squad to work with that I think is better than we've seen. And I think someone like Gerrard can get more out of this squad, a hell of a lot more than Russell Martin got. Now, is this squad good enough to win the league? That's still a big question mark. But I don't think there's any doubt that if Gerrard came back, we would not be sitting eighth in the league for very long.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I'll just read the lengthy statement that Rangers released. So, Rangers Football Club confirms that it has parted company with head coach Russell Martin. While all transition periods require some time, results have not met the club's expectations. Assistant head coach Matt Gill and first team coach Mike Williamson will also be departing. Russell and his staff have worked exceptionally hard throughout their time at the club. We thank them for their efforts and wish them well for the future. Further updates from the club will follow in due course. So it looks like it's obviously going to be a complete clear out. And I guess that's where it really does need to be a quick permanent appointment. I think you're right, Alan. You know, Gerrard would immediately buy the credibility back because he gets the club. He'll reset the standards that I guess have slipped a little bit. I think the other two names that I've heard mentioned quite a lot, one that before Clement got the job, which was Kevin Muscat. And I think at that time, I would have liked to have seen him before Clement come in. Now, again, you could argue Clement was probably right manager, wrong time, because he didn't really get the back and didn't have the quality of players that we needed at that point in time. So I think, if you've got Gerard Muscat and the other one, maybe Sean Dyche are the three there. I don't think you could go far wrong with either of them, either one of those three, to be honest. But Gerard is the one that I think Ross would probably buy a lot of support from the fan base immediately. And just because of the gravitas as a player that he had as well, would probably get buy-in from the players straight away as well.
Yeah, I've spoken a lot on here about how this group of players, and the group has changed, but there's a core to the squad that has seen off a number of managers, and that I think has arguably undermined a number of managers. I think this squad stopped playing for Clement. I think they lost respect for him and stopped playing for him. I think they stopped playing for Beal. I think they stopped. I'm not sure actually they ever really started playing for Beal. I think they stopped playing for Gio, and I think that cost them their jobs. It never happened to Steven Gerrard, and it wouldn't ever happen to Steven Gerrard because of the of a number of reasons, but one being the weight that his name carries. And I understand the risks with Gerrard. He has not exactly been a success elsewhere. I'm not that interested in that, frankly. I think he would come in, and at the moment, we as a fan base are crying out for a figurehead that can galvanise us, and I can only imagine that the players are feeling the same way. And I think that when you sack a manager, and we've maybe been guilty of this, you kind of tend to yo-yo from extremes, from one extreme to the other, right? So I think what we're going to do is I think we're going to go from a philosophy-driven project manager through to more of a figurehead type, someone that's there to motivate and inspire the squad to go out and play football their way, rather than dictating exactly how they need to play. And so I think that there could be a real pivot now, and I kind of hope that there will be, because again, I think we sometimes overcomplicate football. I think that this squad should be good enough to if, with a bit of, and football is a confidence game. Football is a game of confidence and a game of momentum and a game of belief and mentality. Get that belief and mentality back in these players, and I think they could go on a run. I still believe that we have a decent squad. I think we have decent players. I think Djedi Kassam is a good player. I think Antman could be a good player. Thello Asgard looked phenomenal in the Championship in England. Now, I know it's a different game and it's a different league, but that doesn't just disappear, right? He doesn't stop being a good player and then switch it back on when he goes and plays for Norway. So we should have enough in this squad to put a little run together and haul ourselves up to the top of the table. Get the right guy to lead and inspire the players, and that I think that's Gerrard. This, we talk about standards, talk about respect for the tradition, and I think to be fair, I think Dyche and Muscat would be the exact same. I think they would hold respect for Rangers and in return get respect from the fans and get respect from the squad. Russell Martin never had any respect for us, and I don't think we ever had any respect for him. And culturally, it was the wrong fit. He was the wrong guy. And I don't, that is not to say that this is about folk who vote for the Green Party or folk who are vegan or folk who are Buddhist. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But culturally, Russell Martin was never the right guy for Rangers. It just didn't match. It's like I will never be the right guy for St. Pauli over in Hamburg. That doesn't really fit with my ethos, and it unlikely to ever happen anyway, I'll take that. But Steven Gerrard did fit, right? The man matched the institution. What I will say, Muscat, I don't know enough about, but does seem arguably to be a little bit more wedded perhaps to a style of football. That style of football is very, very different to what we've seen before, and I take that. But I am so affected by PTSD from the last 3 months. I want a complete opposite of what we've just had, and for me, I can't look any further than Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, and I think on your point about the squad, I totally agree with that as well, by the way, because I think part of the problem we've had is that we're kind of trying to play or fit square pegs and round holes. And I think it was Glasner that spoke about this recently when he talked about styles of play, where he named the different teams and the different formations and stuff that he's played, because that was the thing that suited the group of players that he had at that time. And I think that's what we need from our managers, to come in and look at the players and go, right, this is what is going to be the best for this game and the best for this group of players that we've got, rather than what Martin seemed to be doing, which was, you know, trying to force Joe Rothwell, who was phenomenal at Leeds as an eight and an attacking player last year, get him to play a six and take Raskin's position. You know, look at fellow Asgard, who, after scoring four goals for Norway, and he's asked what the best position is, he's a left-hand-sided eight, and immediately the next game he's played on the right-hand side. You know, swapping Gassama and Moore, when Gassama and Magoma have made a really good start to relationship building on that left-hand side, and he immediately breaks it up. And I think there was too much of that tinkering that Martin had done with the group of players that he had, Alan, that didn't show any of the signings that we've made in the best light. You know, Ross makes a great point about Ant-Man. He comes in, looks phenomenal, off the back of a season where he's got 17 assists and 7 goals for go-ahead Eagles, talks about how he loves to hit the byline and, you know, get the ball across. And every time we see him after he's been coached, he's cutting back into the side of the park and doesn't look anywhere near the player that we signed.
Yeah. And that's the key. You know, one of the tasks of a manager coming in is to improve the players he has or gets them functioning. You think back all the way to Dick Advocaat. Barry Ferguson was halfway out the door when Dick Advocaat came in. But during his research before he took the job, he was watching reserve games and thought, I'm going to build my team around him. And then look at how he brought him in and developed him. You know, more recently, you look at Gio with Bassey as well. You know, a manager develops players. Even Barry Ferguson got the best out of Nico Raskin. You know, you just saw it just worked for him under his coaching. So someone like Gerrard coming in, I think, can work with this squad and make them a hell of a lot better than they've been. A hell of a lot better. By not doing anything too fancy, by just getting them structured, getting them organised, getting them believing in each other. Because Russell Martin didn't improve a single player that's come in. And as we've discussed already tonight, the players seem to regress under him. They genuinely did. You know, someone like Asgard...
The only player he improved was Jack Butland, because he'd faced so many shots.
Yeah, or crucially maybe, Jack Butland has a specialist coach that he works with, you know, and he's not working with a sort of guy that was sacked by Carlisle bottom of the league too. You know, this kind of stuff. You know, and I think it's just important that if we want to be a project club or a club that develops players to sell them on for profit, which we kind of do need to be, you need to make sure you have a management and a coaching team in that is capable of actually doing that. And there was absolutely nothing in Russell Martin's track record that suggested him and all these kind of random, you know, guys from League One in England that with no track record were ever capable of doing that. It was such a misstep, it almost beggared belief. And we all knew it. You know, and again, I remember being on the podcast at the tail end of last season when the manager options were being discussed. And it was kind of like, Russell Martin's, and we all kind of went, yeah, well, obviously not him. And we just moved on. We didn't even discuss it. We just thought he was in the running because he's an ex-player and he's unemployed. And then as soon as he was actually in the running, you just thought, am I having some kind of terrible fever dream? You know, is this the Matrix and I'm being punished and this is like my worst nightmare coming true? Because that's what it was. It was, I didn't know a single person, whether it's on my group chats, on my mates, on the bus, anything. I didn't know a single person that wanted Russell Martin as manager. And it was this kind of odd arrogance from these guys coming in from down south saying, right, this is how we're going to do it. And you just thought, this is going to go horribly wrong. And lo and behold, it's gone horribly wrong, right? I told you so. Let's get it out of the way. But let's get someone in that can now sort the season out. Because I'll tell you, the season isn't lost. The season is not lost.
No.
You know, our rivals are not in great shape. We've seen that. I know they scraped a win today, but they're not in great shape and things aren't going well. So someone like Gerrard coming in, that can give us that oomph, can sort of get the blood pumping again, get immediate buy-in. The crowd, if he's back, the crowd will be super, super up for the Dundee United game at home. The atmosphere will be a polar opposite to what it's been. The game will sell out. Everybody will be back. Hospitality will be packed. Everybody will be up for it. Now, of course, at that point, the challenge is then his to make sure he meets the demand and the players need to meet the demand. But that's fine. That's where we want the club to be, with that expectation on the squad. So, you know, we have to now just use this as a lesson learned and a bit of a restart. Okay, it's a restart 3 months after the last restart, which is suboptimal, I accept. But again, there's a hell of a lot still to play for. We've got a semi-final against that lot in less than a month. You know, let's get fully focused and let's get the blood pumping again. Because going into that with Russell Martin and his merry band of nobodies, I was just thinking, I'm not even sure I can get excited about this. But let's get someone in with a new team that we can actually believe in and actually get the support rallied again. Because, yeah, I can't even remember what the question was. I'm really sorry, mate. But it's just that kind of, you know, just in that kind of giddy. I mean, I've had half a pint. Give me a break, you know. I'm just in that kind of giddy sort of, thank Christ it's over, because it's been absolutely miserable having Russell Martin as manager.
Oh, no, I mean, don't get me wrong, mate. I fully agree. And that was one of the points I was going to make, actually, around what our hopes are for the remainder of the season. Because ultimately, you're right. You know, we've got a semi-final against them that presents us with a really good first chance of getting silverware this season. And if a new manager comes in and can work with those players, all of a sudden it changes the whole dynamic of the fan base and the confidence of the team. Because if you can get to that final and win that and hold up a piece of silverware earlier in the season, it does give you time to kind of rebuild and I guess respond to the bad start to the season. I think the only worrying concern that we've got is understanding A, who was involved in that process to appoint Martin in the first place, because we really don't want them to be part of the interview process this time. You know, and ultimately I think there was a lot of noise at that point that Greta Steinsen was going to be involved in that process. But, you know, was it a Thelwell and Patrick Stewart thing? Was it a Kavanagh and Patrick McGrath was it their appointment? So it's understanding who made that decision and getting real football men involved in that this time to kind of see. My anticipation is they've known that this is going to go some way. So they probably got, you know, feelers out with the likes of Gerrard and others who are available. And I'd like to think that it's going to be a really quick appointment. But I guess, Ross, I guess one of the things that we cannot miss here either, I think, is also the playing squad. Because ultimately, yeah, we can talk about styles of play, we can talk about the manager and his failings, but equally, some of these players have kind of let down the fans as well with their performances on the pitch. You know, regardless of whether they've been deployed in the right position or are kind of in a happy place, the level of effort, application and attitude of some of these players has been woeful. You know, the majority of the SPL games that we've played this year, I think we've been outfought and outbattled by the opposition, which is never acceptable for any Rangers team to be done by. And I think that was evident again today, where Falkirk seemed to be a hell of a lot more up for it than we did.
Yeah, so I was in... at the game in Graz midweek in Austria, and that was something that was really, really apparent to me then, and it was apparent to me again today. We're not running. The players are jogging across the park. They are not diving into 50-50 challenges. They're not winning second balls. There was a sincere lack of application and fight and grit and determination from them. And I couldn't figure out why. Now, is that because they've been told not to? Like, there's certain things I think that Russell Martin is telling them was, I put that in the past tense, certain things that Russell Martin was telling them to do, such as he was telling his fullbacks to come in narrower and not necessarily stop crosses coming into the box. I think that is mind-blowing, but it seems that that's what he was telling them to do. Was he also telling them not to dive into challenges at the risk of picking up cards? I don't know, but it was it just came across to me as a fan. I perceived it as a sincere lack of effort, and that's what struck me the most out in Austria, and I saw it again today. Like, you're playing against a Falkirk team who are having their first season in the Premier League in what, 20 years, something like that. They are going to be up for it, right? I've said it time and time again that all of these teams want. Right, okay, so their overall ambition this season is to avoid relegation. They would like to go deep into the cups if they can. But one of the things that they really want to do is they want to beat an Old Firm team. And right now, we're the beatable one. In fact, we're both beatable. But it means that they are so up for it. They are going to fight. They are going to play out of their skins. They're going to challenge for every single ball, every tackle, every 50-50, every header. They want to win every battle. We don't look like we want to win one. Right, and I can't decide whether that's because the players are short of confidence or whether we have recruited timid players. And it wouldn't be the first time that we've done that. We've recruited players from England who underestimate what it means to play in this league. And it comes back to, and again, here's me going off on a tangent, but it comes back to, I think, the arrogance of English football folk, right? I've lived in England since I was 6 years old. I've grown up in English football culture more than I have in Scottish football culture. English football fans, English football people believe that Scottish football is of a really low quality, generally around League One level in England. Most of the time, you can't disagree with that, right? But that means that there's this perception that if you hire a load of championship players, then you're ultimately you're better than everyone else and you'll win. Scottish football is worse than English football, but it is harder to win. And I sincerely believe that because it's a completely different challenge. It's a completely different sport. So if you take ostensibly on paper better English players than the Scottish ones we have up here, it doesn't mean that they're going to perform better in Scotland because it's a different environment. And I think that's where we're struggling. I think when you bring guys like Joe Rothwell, you bring guys like Max Aarons, you bring guys like Nasser Djiga up from England, it doesn't work. Tello Asgard, the same. I have not seen Tello Asgard kick a ball in anger for Rangers. I've certainly not seen him win a tackle. And again, is that because we've recruited the wrong type of player and we're not doing that due diligence? Wouldn't be the first Rangers manager to fall into that trap. Or is it because they're completely short of confidence? Either way, it comes across as a lack of effort and a lack of application.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of both. I think Rothwell alluded to it a little bit that he probably expected maybe a bit of an easier ride than he was getting when he came up here. It's a different pace of football here. There's much more physicality to Scottish football, I guess, Alan, and that's probably where a lot of these players fall down on, is that they, like Ross says, they come up thinking that Championship, yep, is going to be a higher level of football than the Scottish League and more quality. But ultimately, there's a physical aspect of it up here that is completely alien and different. And we've had World Cup winners that have come and played in our league and not fared well. Disrespect to any of the potential World Cup winners in the Championship. But
I mean, that's exactly it. And I couldn't agree more with what Ross said about the English arrogance towards the Scottish game. No matter what, and no matter how they argue otherwise, right? Guys like Thelwell and Dan Purdy, before they were linked to Rangers, won't have watched a Scottish football game for a long, long time. Maybe they'd catch an Old Firm game. Maybe. But as soon as they linked to it, they'll think, that's a farmer's league. This will be easy. I'm sure that's their mindset. And I think that bleeds into players as well. I always remember back, Conor Goldson, for me, is one of the most underrated Rangers of recent years, right? I'll just say that. But when he first came in, when you actually look back at his first season, he was actually quite skinny. He was quite skinny and quite lean. And then you look at him 3 seasons later and he's muscled to hell. He's clearly put it all in. And he spoke on a podcast towards the end of his Rangers career about being taken aback as to how physical it was and suddenly realising he's going to have to hit the weights. You know, that's the adaptation that needs to take place. And players do get taken aback by it. There's no question about that. And that's where we need someone to educate the players on what it actually takes to succeed up here. Because you're going to get, as Ross says, you're going to be up against teams like Falkirk. They might not have the best technical players, but they'll run, they'll play with blood and snotters, they play with their elbows up, and they desperately want to beat you. And it's like having a kind of early cup game with pretty much every away game, because this is the cup final. These are the games that these teams want to win, and you have to match their desire. Now, in terms of the situation we have, as much as I think we can reasonably be critical of the players. I thought there was some really, really poor performances today. I would also give them a slight excusal on the basis of they were being coached by an absolute bolus of dunces. Absolute nobodies. You know, if we look back at someone like Walter Smith, and okay, Walter was the icon that we all hold everyone else against, but players would run through brick walls for Walter Smith. They really would. So in that sense, if you get a complete wet wipe in the dugout, the players are going to look at it and go, they're just going to lose that bit. That's where a manager, that's where a coach comes in to inspire the players to do what they need to do. And that's a gift, you know, and for the certain managers have and certain managers don't. So you need that inspiration from the sidelines. You need the players to believe in what they're being told so that they'll put that in and put it all out there on the pitch. And if you get a chance in the dugout, we had it recently with Pedro. I mean, a number of players that have spoken about working under Pedro, from basically his first training session, they were like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. You know, players suss out managers. And we might say it's unprofessional that it lets it impact their performance, but of course it impacts their performance. Yeah. all the elite athletes change their coaches if it's not working for that reason. They need to get those percentages. They all need to get those little edges because they make the difference at the top level.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have sympathy with some of the players because they you could tell they hated playing the way Russell Martin wanted them to play. Remember Raskin was playing like kind of wide left earlier in the season?
Yeah.
What's that about? What's he doing? Do you know what I mean? It's like, what planet is that going to work? Mm-hmm. You know, the players hate that kind of stuff. And every single number nine we've played with this season has looked dreadful. We've had Danilo, we've had Dessers, we've had Miofsky, Chiamiti. They've all looked rotten because this system doesn't get anything out of the number nine. And I don't think you can reasonably criticise any of the players that have played there because they've all had the same dreadful performances because our system had no idea how to utilise the nine. So for us, it just has to be a fresh start. You know, as we said, it's 2 weeks now. Get the new manager in ASAP. Get him working with the players. Get him ready for the game that's 2 weeks yesterday. And let's get a proper system that the players believe in and want to play in so that they can show us what they can do. Because this squad is better than we've seen. It is better than we've seen. There's no doubt about that. And that's why it's really important the change has been made. And that's why, again, we can now, I think, be positive about what the future holds.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I guess, given we've only got, 20 minutes left, I think maybe touch on the game a wee bit today and we can pour over that before we go back to celebrating and you pour your second pint, Alan. I guess the starting lineup today was Butland, Tav, Jigga, Suter, Cornelius is the back five. Was it Barron, Northwell and Raskin in the middle with the Mikey Moore, Gassama and Miofsky as the front three. I guess the only thing that's been really disappointing for me is the lack of time for wee Finlay Curtis. You know, ultimately I think he would potentially contribute more than Mikey Moore would do on the right hand side. He's scored three this year. He's had an assist in the games that he's started, Ross. What was your take on that starting lineup? Was there anything that you would have changed?
Yeah, I think Mikey Moore's really, really struggled, and maybe he's one that's come up thinking I'm gonna boss it in Scotland. You know, we've seen that time and time again from far more experienced and supposedly intellectual players than Mikey Moore, referencing Joey Barton there. They think, you know, maybe he's fallen into that trap, and that would be a real shame. There's rumours going around, and maybe it's just speculation, but it does seem like there might be something in the agreement with Spurs saying that he's got to play a certain number of games. Finlay Curtis, I would have liked to have seen him start today. I think it's the kind of game he would have done well, and I think he'd have could have taken some confidence from it. I do remember... the away leg at Panathinaikos earlier this season out in Athens, I thought he really, really struggled. I thought he looked miles off it. And I kind of thought at that point, actually, this kid's not put out. But we are crying out for some creativity and we are crying out for some just final product. He is scoring goals and he's getting assists. So I was disappointed not to see him. It's that, actually, that's one position. Was Jedi Gassama's locked down one flank, but the other side, we're kind of circling through Moore, Antman, and Curtis, and no one's really been able to nail it down. So that's an interesting one. I thought Cornelius, it looked to me when the lineup came out, you know, I was going to play at left back, obviously Magoma dropping out. When Cornelius shifted to the left side midweek against Sturm Graz, I actually thought he did quite well. I thought he looked good. I didn't realise he was that much of an attacking threat, or that he could move the ball forward, that he could get a ball in the box. And obviously, I think that paid off with our goal. I think he did really, really well for our goal. So it's an interesting option there, because the other option, if Magoma does need to drop out because he's young and he needs to build up his minutes, the other option is that you put Max Aarons on the left and Tav at the right back. And we've seen that earlier this season. It was not working at all. So I was happy enough with that. I don't think Joe Rothwell is suited to that type of game today. It's the type of game where he's always going to be frustrated. He's going to be up against tough physical midfielders that are going to annoy him. And I don't think he's got the... I don't know. I don't think it suited him. But Conor Barron, I think, had a really poor game midweek. So I was surprised to see him start again. But yeah, other than that, you then talk about who's starting up top, and so we go Miofsky, not our £8 million saviour. Yusuf Chirmiti, who was awful midweek again. So it's tough because I've just kind of rattled through six or seven of them and have been overwhelmingly negative about these players that earlier I said they're actually pretty good. But that's just kind of what Russell Martin's done to all of our heads, I think. No, I agree with you on Finlay Curtis, though. And whilst he struggled in Greece, and I don't think he's cut out for superstardom.
Yeah.
I think we've seen more promising young players come through at Rangers and fail to make it. He is one of the most productive players that we have at the moment. So shame that we're not seeing more of him.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit weird, Arlen, that we knocked back an offer from him to go to Killy. The rumours were for a season-long loan, where he would have been probably guaranteed some first-team football because he was going to play in our first team. And I think since then, we've barely seen him. And even today, he's left out of the squad completely. So it was a bizarre bit of team selection, I think, from that point of view. And I guess it didn't really help the first 25 minutes that we weren't really in the game at all, to be honest. I think if it hadn't been for Super Jack Butland and goal, we might have been one or two down in that first 30 minutes. And, you know, Martin might have got sacked at half-time rather than full-time. But I guess what was your view on that opening? What was Cousins the biggest problem? Was it the system, or was it the fact that Walcott did smell blood and they were right on it from the first minute?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were right on it from the first minute. I think after 30 minutes, and it was still 0-0, I think they'd kind of exhausted themselves a wee bit and they dropped out of it. I think they were trying to start fast, trying to get that early goal. And as you say, Butland, that save early on from Butland is actually much better than he got credit for, I think, to keep the score down. And they had another kind of shot from range. It was just kind of wide to the far post. But, you know, it was just one of these things that they were just working hard, running hard. They had a clear approach to try and get the ball wide. They had the boy playing wide right. I think he's on loan from Man U. He looked quite tricky. As you know, Cornelius had a really difficult first 15 minutes. I thought the boy got in behind him a good few times, and then Cornelius kind of settled and got to grips with him. But they had a clear approach, just try and get it wide and try and get them cutting inside. And the other boy was putting in crosses. I think the first half he put in seven or eight crosses or something like that. You know, they had a clear tactical plan to try and work to, which obviously Rangers just lack. The midfield is just non-existent for us that first 30 minutes. You know, I thought Raskin was really poor. Barron worked hard, but again, he batters around all over the pitch. And then when he gets the ball, he can't move it that well. And then Rothwell, as you say, I mean, he was bright purple by about minute 15. Albeit I thought he was reasonable today. I actually think he shifted a few pounds looking at him. It looks like he has slimmed down a bit, which will help. But we just didn't have a grip of the game whatsoever. And our game plan was just try and get it to Kasama and hope he can do something. And that's, Kasama's not yet at that level that he can take that level of responsibility. But again, as we discussed earlier on, it's indicative of how these away matches are going to be. These teams now smell blood. This is not a Rangers team that these teams are coming up against thinking, oh, we're going to have to sit tight, 10 men behind, let's try not get battered. It's the opposite. They're now coming smelling blood, thinking if we score first, we could get a seriously good result here. You know, they've got belief against us now. But that, for me, again, all stems from how fragile the club was under this management. Yeah. So we have to use this as a reset period to try and erase all that. But I thought, as I said earlier on, I thought Miovski was dreadful. Till he scored, I thought he was absolutely awful. But then he pops up with a goal, you know, a wee kind of tap in at the back post. That's the kind of goal he'll sniff out, and that's why he'll be good for us. But this system just gets nothing out of the number nine. The only reason that goal came about was because of a really good ball in by Cornelius. You know, that kind of corridor of uncertainty. You know, keeper doesn't come, defence are too high up, and then Miovski sneaks in. And that was the one time we got him involved in the game, and he made a difference. But we just can't get the number nine repeatedly involved in the game. And that was why at half time we were lucky to be 1-0 up. And I think Falkirk would have felt really aggrieved that they were behind in the game.
Yeah, I think the stat that popped up on Sky at the time, wasn't it? At one point there was Falkirk had 17 crosses into our box and we didn't have any. But showed you the attacking intent. And I think it was that continued joy down the flanks that they got in that first half, Ross. And I guess ultimately this is where a normal manager might think about tweaking things and changing shape slightly. And I was surprised actually that we didn't see any changes at half time, because we've normally seen a little bit of that when with Martin's team selections and substitutes at half time. Did you want to see any changes made at that point? Did you think he was going to make anything?
I wanted to see changes, but I didn't necessarily want to see changes in personnel. I want to see changes in instruction, changes in tactic, because we kept inviting the crosses into the box. We don't close down the wide men, as you know. We effectively let them get to the byline and then stand off them for 6 yards. In fact, that seems to be our, again, I'll put it in the past tense, that seemed to be our entire defensive philosophy, was stand off and give them an extra yard. Whether they were running through you at the middle or whether they were coming down the flanks, to put 17 crosses into our box. And how many goals have we lost this season due to balls into the box? Because that's been a weakness of Rangers for the last decade, is losing men in the box. You know, how many times have we seen Tav or Suter get caught underneath the ball? We saw it last week against Livingston, right? And that's what Scottish football is having a big lump up top that can out-muscle you, get half a yard of space in the box and put it in the back of the net. It's happened to us for years. And that's, again, that shows the arrogance of these people thinking, well, my philosophy is better. My system is better and I'm smarter than you. So my system is going to be, we'll give them space on the flanks and we're going to crowd out the box. But it doesn't work, because they'll always have a striker that can jump higher than your defenders. And we've seen it time and time again where we misjudge it, we get caught under the ball. So to allow 17 crosses in the first half is, it's criminal, and it's so easy to see how it's happening and see why. So I'm the same as yourself, Rob. I felt we were fortunate to go in 1-0 up. I felt we were really, really fortunate. And much like against Livingston, from the start of the second half, you could see what was coming. You could see what was coming. So, look, maybe today will go down as actually being the ideal result for us, because we picked up a point, but it forced the board's hand. They had to make a change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes you can't do anything with the type of goal that Falkirk scored. You know, it was a deflected shot that rockets into the top corner. But to be honest, you know, Alan, like we've said, on the balance of play, probably no more than Falkirk deserved, to be honest. Across the piece of it, I think one of the other stats that I saw was, you know, we had 59% of the ball, 61% of the ball, and we created one chance and had one shot on goal at the time. And Falkirk had 7 chances and 3 on target. So,
according to the, I know everyone doesn't like these stats, and I'm on the fence with them myself, but according to this, to Stats Bomb, our XG in the second half was 0.08.
XG, you had to go there, Alan. Why did you do it?
It was 0.08. And then our manager comes out and says, yeah, we had chances that we just didn't take. And you just think, what chances are you seeing here? You know,
I think the other thing that we came out and said was that we didn't give up too many chances either, which I think always was also like scratching our head going, I'm sure there was a couple of cracking saves at Butland in there.
I was about to say, the guy, Brian Graham, he sort of muscled Giga, I think it was, and he got any sort of snapshot. Mm. And Butland sort of got down and saved it with his sort of wrist. And it was actually a much better save than anyone gave him credit for on commentary. That could easily have been 2-1 to Falkirk. You know, and okay, the goal did take a deflection and all the rest of it, but at the end of the day, it was no more than they deserved. You know, we can't look at that game and say that we were robbed at all. Falkirk were better set up than us, and they wanted it more than us, and they produced better football than us. That's the tragedy of the Russell Martin, you know? Yeah. And that's a cobbled-together side on no budget with some good youth players, some loanees coming in, young loan players, a few experienced heads, managed by an experienced Scottish manager. And he got the better of Rangers in pretty much every aspect today, other than the result. And that was, you know, that was why surely the board had to look at this and go, this is completely untenable. Pack your bags. So there was nothing redeeming about that game today at all for me. And I think it's only tonight that allows us to start looking forwards and looking to the future with hopefully a bit of optimism. Because, it's been awful. What's been your highlight of the Russell Martin era, Rab? I'll ask you.
Seeing pictures of Lucy Pinder. The highlight... It's difficult to have one, mate, because it's been dreadful. I mean, The 60 minutes of football that we saw against Pilsen, probably because Pilsen were so bad that night, was probably some of the best football we've seen at Ibrox for a while. And that was, I was genuinely excited that night because I thought we were guff up until that point. That was a really good performance that night. And I thought that if we can build on that and that's the style of play we're going to see, this is going to be a brilliant season.
Well, it just goes to show you.
And then you see how it all goes. But I think you'd struggle with any fan to pick out a highlight of the Russell Martin era, apart from him maybe walking across that pitch today, knowing that we were going to hear an announcement tonight to say he was sacked.
Yeah, and that's it. And you even think back to Pedro. I remember winning like 3-0 at Pittodrie under Pedro. You know, and things like that. Even then, you can pick wee results, wee games. We thought, actually, that was good. Yeah, we enjoyed that. We really celebrated that. There's so little. There's so little under Russell Martin. It was just impossible to think of anything that you could really truly celebrate. And there were, unfortunately, there were plenty of lowlights as well. So it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just one of these things that we're going to look back on in decades and go, God, do you remember that happened? And it's almost going to feel surreal, I think.
Russell Martin was manager of Rangers. You've got to be
Yeah.
kidding.
Who decided that? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Was that done by throwing a dice or something like that? But no, it was just wild. But I just think it's I'm pleased that they've made the decision now. I thought there was a basis to do it after Bruges away because of how badly that game was quite literally managed. You know, going down to 10 and then trying to play the same way, trying to play open and just getting mauled was completely unacceptable. But I did have a fear they would wait till the sort of semi-final or maybe wait till closer to Christmas and all the rest of it and see how it goes and sort of write the season off. So I think it's been done at the right time. And yeah, let's see how we go.
Absolutely. And I guess
I,
it's a
funnily
good.
enough, I've just sorry, I should just say I've just been sent a list of the odds. I think it's the I won't say the bookies, there are other bookies available, but I've just been sent the odds. Gerrard opened at 4-1 and has been backed into 2-1. So that's interesting. You can get Barry Ferguson at 8-1, Dennett McInnes 10-1, Gareth Southgate 20-1. I mean, where's your money going, boys?
I've had to
Tell
stick
you,
a tenner on it in
it's
Gerrard.
not going on Barry Ferguson. And the only reason that I say that is because if it was Barry Ferguson, it would be on the Daily Record and Go Radio by now, as it was last time. So I think we're clear from Barry Ferguson. Yeah, Gerrard's. I think Gerrard's. There was a piece in the press, was it yesterday or a couple of days ago, about Gerrard is open to a move back to Rangers, and it had some quotes from like a scout or a coach that he'd worked with somewhere. I don't know. You could interpret that as him putting that back out to make sure that people know that he actually wants the job again. We're gonna, and one of the reasons that I want this done in the next like 48 hours is because we're about to start spending days and days researching Bahraini tax situations. We're gonna be really diving into his wife's Instagram account to try and pick up clues about what her mood is at the prospect of moving to Glasgow. And it's going to get really, really tedious. So whoever it is, anything will be an improvement. And I genuinely believe that the three of us could have managed Rangers to a top six finish this season, right? So
Oh, yeah.
anything will be an improvement on what's gone before. I think you ask a lot of fans, who do you want as Rangers manager? And the first thing is they'll say anyone. But actually, when you look at it, I'm thinking about myself now. There are names that we would have considered in the summer, like Sean Dyche. In the summer, I was like, no, not Dyche. He's a football dinosaur. He's not the guy. Yeah, now I'll take Dyche all day long, right? There's going to be a lot of that. I didn't really want Muscat in the summer. I'll take him now. I understood the reservations about Gerrard in the summer. I don't think any of that matters anymore. And I think, I mean, obviously, never say never and take everything with a pinch of salt, but it can only get better, right? It can only get better.
I do remember seeing a couple. I don't have Instagram, but I remember someone sent it to me maybe about a month ago, maybe slightly longer. A picture of Gerard from Gerard's Instagram with his youngest decked out in the
Your
full
Rangers
Rangers
kit.
full kit, this season's Rangers kit. I remember at the time thinking, that's cool that he's still into Rangers and he's still buying the kits. And then also thinking at the time, well, wouldn't it be nice to have him back? You know, so I just wonder if there was some wee, off the record discussions going on in the background. Because I mean, ultimately, if Gerrard comes back, you know, he doesn't need the money, right? And he's not going to get the Liverpool manager's job. It's not like kind of prepare himself for that or any stuff. You've got to assume he's come back because he wants to make a go of it. You know, he wants to come back and wants to get that bit between his teeth again, mm-hmm. because he doesn't need the hassle. You know, if he's coming back and put himself into that goldfish bowl, and I don't think his family are likely to come to Glasgow with him this time. You know, he's leaving all that behind to go and, you know, sling his spuds on the barbecue again. And you've got to assume that's because he really wants it and he's really going to commit himself to it. So, you know, let's see how it goes. But I can see you can get about 33-1 on Big Ange. So if anyone wants to put their money on Big Ange, reasonable odds, I feel.
I mean, Big Ange is another philosophy. This is who we are, mate. I will not change my ways for anyone type of manager.
For the banter, though, the banter.
He's also an arse. Like, he just seems like an awful, awful guy. One last thing I'd like to say on Gerrard is I think don't underestimate the attraction of him finally winning a cup would be to him. I think he probably feels he has real unfinished business. And I don't think it's outside the realms of possibility that we appoint Steven Gerrard in the next couple of days and we win the cup double this year. Like, you could just, it's that kind of thing. You could just see it happening because he'll have a real chip on his shoulder about that. He'll have a real, was that the right phrase? He'll have that monkey on his back. And that would be lovely.
Aye. Well, but it's a good segue, actually, Ross, because one of the question that I was going to finish with tonight was, what action did you want to see from the club and what are our hopes between now and Christmas? But I guess we can forget about the action bit because they've taken the action that we wanted. But what are you hoping for now between now and Christmas? Because ultimately there's some big games in there, and it'll define what happens for the rest of the season, I guess.
Yeah. So between now and Christmas, oh gosh, where are we with the League Cup? The final of that is back into next year, isn't it? Right, because it used to be that they had it just before Christmas. So by Christmas, I want us in the final of the League Cup. We won't have entered the Scottish Cup yet, so that's fine. We won't be out of that. That's good. I think it's unrealistic to say I'd like to see us go unbeaten, just with the kind of fragility and the shell of a mentality that the squad has at the moment. But we are currently, gosh, I haven't got the league table in front of me, but we're currently 11 points behind Hearts. Does that sound about right?
I think that's right, yeah.
I would like to see
11
that.
Points behind Hearts, yeah.
No, see, I'm not sure Hearts are going to drop 11 points between now and Christmas, but I would like to see that reduced as much as possible. I want to see us, if not in second, I want to see us comfortably in third. But actually, between now and Christmas, I don't want to be embarrassed. Is that a fair thing to say? I don't want to go to work. And as I say, I work in England. I work with English football fans. And I'm so sick of being laughed at by these ignorant folk who have no idea about what's going on. But you know, make jokes about, oh, you know, my nan could score up there and it's a Farmers League, it's a pub league. Who did you lose to this week? Dog and Duck FC. Never heard it before. Phenomenal patter. So that's what I want. So now in Christmas, I do not want to be embarrassed once.
The final is the 14th of December, so I guess you'll want the cup as well.
Okay, right, I want to win the cup then,
cool. Alan, same question to you, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same. We're not asking too much, I suppose, but I'd like to see Rangers as a top six club again. Yeah, that would be a start. Yeah. But, you know, we just need to get some momentum behind us. You know, did Russell Martin ever win two games in a row? I don't think he did. Did he?
I think so.
Can't even remember. Nope. I blanked it out. It's also miserable, but... you know, we just need to get some momentum behind us. You know, go on a bit of a winning run. If I recall, December is a tricky month. Quite a few midweek games. I think we'll get sort of Easter Road, maybe Tynecastle, and then sort of Parkhead at the end of it. So that'll be a bit of a defining month. So we just need to go on a bit of a run. Again, semi-final win would be absolutely perfect. Puts us in a cup final. Allows the new manager to get his feet under the table with a crack at silverware. All this kind of stuff. In a way, it's really teed up nicely for a new manager to come in and just make a run of it between now and Christmas. You know, if I know Clement did it, but if he can get a cup in the bag, again, it's just that kind of immediate buy-in from the fans and suddenly you're riding the crest of a wave. So there's an opportunity there for a manager to come in. So again, seems obvious, climb the league, no more ridiculousness. Let's climb the league in the Europa League. I think the top eight's probably gone for us now, given we've lost our first two games, but We can still qualify for the next round. There's no doubt about that, albeit I'm conscious we have Roma at home coming up. But we can still climb the European League. So it's just, you know, steady, good progress, and no more excuses, you know. No more, the transfer window's open, it's a bit chaotic, or there's too many games at this time of season, we're not used to that. Or, you know,
there's a field anxiety.
Yeah, too anxious, or my chakras weren't right, or all this kind of stuff. I'm just like, come off it, man. We just don't want to hear excuses from the manager. So just somebody that's come in, it's not going to show us that kind of nonsense would be a start. Yeah, that's all I ask, not much.
No, I think the not to be embarrassed is the line that I'll take away, because again, yeah, that's the key. And then
it's going to be a rare laugh when we come back to Ibrox in a couple of weeks and instantly draw with Dundee United, isn't it?
It was going so well until you mentioned that there, Alan. Yeah, thank you, mate. Yeah. Thank you. But I guess I appreciate you for coming on, lads. It was a good chat, to be honest. And again, I think it probably helped lift the mood a little bit with that breaking news as we'll start the pod. So, Ross, thank you very much for joining me. It was a really good chat.
No, thank you for having me. And I said at the start that I was feeling better than I thought I would after drawing 1-1 against Falkirk. I feel excited now. I feel happy. So, let's go.
Good. Alan, as always, a pleasure, mate. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, good to see you again, man. I've rethought and I've thought I'm going to skip the next beers. I'm going to go straight to the whiskey. That's where I'm going now. Let's enjoy it.
Yeah, brilliant. Enjoy that, mate. So as well as being live on YouTube tonight, the show will be available on all podcasting platforms. That's iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, etc. As well in the coming days. I think we'll be taking a break until the football is due to kick back in after the internationals. So probably going to be doing a preview, I think, for Dundee United on the 17th. But if there is an appointment in the interim, then maybe there'll be a special edition Jersnet pod, so watch out the socials for that, just in case we do one. All that's left for me to say is a massive thank you for everybody that has been watching us live on YouTube, and to you all listening back. Thanks for listening.